into Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the African qualifying competition for next year's World Cup football tournament in Qatar. Niger, Ivory Coast, Liberia, and South Africa all scored victories Monday. In Group A, Niger defeated Djibouti 4-2 in a match played in Rabat, Morocco. Victorian Adebayor scored two goals for Niger, which picked up its first win in the group. In Group D, Ivory Coast moved to the top of the table with a 2-1 victory against visiting Cameroon in Abidjan. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports holla for Sebastian Haller, who scored both goals for the Elephants of Ivory Coast. The Elephants now have 4 points in the group, while the indomitable Lions of Cameroon have 3 points. And this note for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners, 40 African football teams are currently taking part in this phase of World Cup qualifying. They've been placed into 10 groups of 4 each. The winners of each group advance to the next phase in March 2022 when they're drawn into 5 home and away ties. And the winners of those 5 ties earn the much coveted trip to Qatar for the World Cup. In Group C of African World Cup qualifying, Liberia beat Central African Republic 1-0 on a late goal by Kapash Sherman. This qualifier was played in Douala, Cameroon. The lone star of Liberia now have 3 points in the group, while the CAR has 1 point. In Group G, South Africa also got a late goal to beat visiting Ghana in Johannesburg. Joining us now from Ghana's capital, Accra, with a post-match report is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In the Qatar 2022 World Cup Group G qualifiers, host Bafana Bafana of South Africa defeated the Black Stars of Ghana by a long goal in Johannesburg. The South Africans' long goal was scored in the 83rd minute by striker Bongokune Logwane when the Ghanaians could no longer bear the constant pressure from their host. Coach of the losing side, CK Akono, expressed disappointment.
Well, we started very well in the first half. Tactically, we were very disciplined. It went the way we wanted. In the second half, we lost midfield in terms of how we want to continue to play. We were then looking forward because we believed that we could win this match.
South Africa's victory moved them to the top of Group G table with 4 points after 2 matches, and Ghana follows with 3 points after 2 games. South Africa coach Hugo Bruce.
We do what we have to do, but we have now 2 games against Ethiopia. I'd like to win them both. And I think if we succeed that, then we will be very close, very close. This game today gives us enormous confidence, enormous.
That was South Africa coach Hugo Bruce. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena for reporting.
Be sure to join me on the next Straight Talk Africa. We'll take you to the movies as internet streaming giants battle for top billing and online audiences across Africa. We ask who's winning and who's watching. We'll also look at the growing demand for homemade stories by Africans, for Africans, and about Africans. We'll have it all right here on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, our Straight Talk Africa host. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In two more results Monday in the African qualifying competition for the 2022 World Cup, Uganda and visiting Mali played to a scoreless draw. And host Benin and the Democratic Republic of Congo played to a one-all draw. In Group J of African World Cup qualifying, Benin now leads with 4 points from two qualifying matches, and the DRC has 2 points. In Group E, Mali tops the table with 4 points from two qualifying matches. Kenya and Uganda have 2 points each, and Rwanda has 1 point. In African women's football, a South Sudanese club is competing in the CAF Women's Champions League, and despite two lopsided losses, the team's coach is promising to keep the flag of South Sudan flying high. David Monodanga reports from Juba, South Sudan.
Number 9, Luka Dibora. Luka Dibora, Luka Dibora, and a good save there from Lilian Awar. Golden opportunity.
That's commentator Craig Mlemi calling Ye Joint Star striker Luka Dibora's missed penalty shot against the Vihiga Queens. The Ye Joint Stars are in third place of Group B with just 3 points following Wednesday's 11-0 loss to the Vihiga Queens of Kenya and Friday night's 10-0 loss to the Commercial Banks of Ethiopia, CBE. The Ye Joint Stars defeated the new generation of Zanzibar 2-1 last weekend despite the absence of head coach Sonny Amaka, who was banned from standing on the touchline because she is not a CAF licensed coach. According to FIFA and CAF rules, a coach is required to have a B or an A license in order to stand on the touchline during international leagues. Amaka says certain players performed well despite her absence.
Even if you fail in the formation you guys are using, it needs you to be on touchline to instruct the players, to call them back, to tell them where they have to be. If someone forgets to tell, you call on the touchline, you explain to her on one what is supposed to be done.
Coach Abdul Rahman Chol was called in to replace Amaka as head coach for South Sudan's team. Chol says the Joint Stars lost their matches due in part to illness.
Some unfortunate circumstances could not help some of our players to play. Some of them became infected and we missed their participation in the second match. Some of them became sick. This is the main reason that made some of them not participate during the match. The environment was not helpful to some of them too. The weather here is cold and half of the team were infected with malaria while others got injured.
According to Chol, six players fell sick and four others were injured during a match last Sunday against the new generation of Zanzibar. Chol says injuries and illnesses have put his side in a difficult spot.
We are really striving to do whatever we can and we are telling our players that even if we lose the match, it shouldn't be like the result of yesterday. Our hope is that the remaining players would take courage to complete the rest of the matches. We are encouraging them and supporting them technically so that emotionally they are ready to face the next team.
Meanwhile, Sonny Amaka says her South Sudanese team will learn from their losses and improve in the future. And she believes the Ye Joint Stars will keep the flag of South Sudan flying high in the international sports arena.
We are ready to fight. I'm here to fight. We have already taken a step ahead and we will never take the step back. We are moving forward. We are ready to fight and carry the flag of South Sudan. Raise the flag up. We will never give up until we succeed for the mission that we came for.
With just 3 points on Friday, the Ye Joint Stars were knocked out of contention in the CAF Women's Champions League. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of our big recent international football stories is the return of Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo to Manchester United. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with this Man U fan.
My name is Odalo Peter. I'm a proud supporter of Manchester United. The reaction is overwhelming because even from the website crashing, the fans, the whole world, those announcements made in 1 hour, and then everybody, the whole world was screaming and shouting the second coming of like Jesus Christ or something. So him coming to Man U second time, it's a welcome development, it's a happy one. Everybody's excited, everybody's expecting good news and a positive outcome. That's what we're going to see.
Do you think the Cristiano Ronaldo, as he is now with his age, do you think he's going to add more value to the Man U team, your darling team, as presently constituted?
Ronaldo has wealth of experience. Our current forwards, they don't have that much, excluding Cavani. So him coming to this club with young players, the Rashford, the Sancho, the Greenwood, he will bring that experience, that added experience to the team. So it's going to balance it up. I don't see him playing every match, but he's going to definitely add a whole lot of experience. Champions League experience, Serie A experience, even the Premiership experience, past and now current present, is going to add a whole lot to the team, to the team development, to the team going forward. And I actually see Man U actually taking a step forward into the right direction with him coming back to the club, signing us for the second time.
The current manager of Man U and Cristiano Ronaldo, we are playing mates. Do you think they will gel? Do you think that there will be this understanding between them or amongst them, having been playing mates in the past?
In that aspect, I would say I'm a little bit skeptical. I hope it works out for the best, because like they said, they play together, they lifted the trophy together and everything, but I don't see Ronaldo as someone that is egotistical in the sense that he wants to come and fight with the coach or something, but I think they're going to work together. I think they might gel together since they've known each other for some years and they've played together, they've been friends, they've shared the same locker room. So I see them still doing the same thing also. I see them working hand in hand, and it's going to be positive for Manchester United as a team, and it's going to be beneficial for the players also. And I think it's going to bring that team spirit back. It's going to bring that wealth of experience, what Manchester United is, the winning mentality, back to Manchester United, because I don't think that winning mentality is leaving the team currently. We just have few players that have that Manchester United DNA. So with him being back, Solskjaer of course being his former partner, player, with Carrick being the assistant, everybody's going to gel well together. So him being on the pitch, him being a demigod in the pitch, with Solskjaer as the manager, Carrick being together, I think together they're going to gel well. And hopefully, fingers crossed, but hopefully, I see it as a very, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Do you also think that Cristiano Ronaldo might end his playing career with your darling team, with Manchester United?
Okay, he signed 2 years deal. He's currently the highest paid player in the Premiership. It's 475, if I'm not mistaken. So, if it's the money is there, but you might give him extra year. I see him. But depending on this season, I feel if he plays well this season, he would want to stay. And right now, the whole team is worshipping him. Everybody's worshipping him. Even today's game against Wolves, it was all Portuguese flag flying all over England. So you can imagine how the impact just by the announcement of him coming back to Manchester United have. So with that, I think he might be passionate enough to extend and retire in Man U. I won't be surprised. I won't be. Although he said he might retire at Lisbon, at his former club, but I still see him retiring at Manchester United. It's very possible. Very, very possible. But never say never.
That's Peter Odalo, a Manchester United football fan. And Peter spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic remains on course for a calendar year Grand Slam. That is a sweep of the Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, and U.S. Open titles. It's something that hasn't been done by a male player since Rod Laver did it in 1969. Djokovic survived a shaky start on Monday night to advance to the quarterfinals at the U.S. Open in New York. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Top seed Novak Djokovic has kept his Grand Slam dream on track, but not before seeing off a determined U.S. Open fourth-round challenge from the Californian Jenson Brooksby. The 20-year-old wildcard entry dominated the early stages of the match before the world number one finally found his rhythm and powered onto a 1-6 and then 6-3, 6-2, 6-2 victory that took almost 3 hours.
It was a good finish. It wasn't a good start, but all in all, expected the battle, and I got that one, and so I'm pleased to overcome it.
The Serb next takes on the sixth seed, Matteo Berrettini. Bad news for the other two remaining Americans in the draw, Shelby Rogers and Riley Opelka, both losing their fourth-round matches. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. Speaking after his victory, Novak Djokovic praised the young American, Jenson Brooksby.
He was motivated and he did his best, so I have to congratulate him and say that I was impressed with his game, but also with his behaviors. Considering the circumstances in his first Artur Stadium match against me in night session, I felt he managed himself very well.
Meanwhile, Olympic tennis champions Alexander Zverev and Belinda Bencic are also managing well in New York after winning gold medals in Tokyo. The German Zverev beat Italy's Jannik Sinner in straight sets to advance to the quarterfinals at the U.S. Open. It was the 15th consecutive victory for Zverev. And the 24-year-old Swiss player Bencic also advanced to the quarterfinals, beating 2020 French Open champion Iga Świątek of Poland 7-6 and 6-3.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Jesha Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K.
And let's also add Olympic champion to Joshua Cheptegei's resume. Joshua won Olympic gold at 5,000 meters, as well as an Olympic silver medal at 10,000 meters at the recent Tokyo Games in Japan. Ugandans celebrated Cheptegei's Olympic title, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinj in this 2021 Olympic highlight. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners.
Cheptegei leads. It's Kimeli in second for Kenya, and Paul Chelimo ready to pounce. Cheptegei has 110 meters to claim history for Uganda. He's pulling away. Can he do it? Can he keep it going? Watch for the Canadian. he's closing, but not quickly enough. The world record holder becomes the Olympic champion. At last, Joshua Cheptegei secures the gold he has craved for years. So many runs, so many thousands of kilometers. And after the near miss in the 10,000 meters, he's done it. He's climbed the mountain. Uganda's first champion over 5,000 meters. He's done it with his compatriot. He's done it with heart. He's done it with passion. And he's proven that as a world record holder, he can come and deliver under pressure when the times are irrelevant. What a night it's going to be in Uganda. Cheptegei has taken one of the ultimate crowns.
Indeed, there were jubilations in Kampala after Uganda's long-distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei, won his first gold at the Olympics. And he was visibly emotional after clocking 12 minutes and 58.15 seconds to win the 5,000 meters race in Tokyo, Japan, ahead of Canada's Ahmed Mohamed and American Paul Chelimo. The 5,000 meters win came after settling for silver in his favorite race, the 10,000 meters category. By winning two medals at the Olympics, the 10,000 meters and 5,000 meters world champion established himself as Uganda's best athlete and said he was relieved.
I always want to become the best. And that's the right mindset that I want to tell Ugandans, always strive to become the best. And I believed in myself, I was able to fight the confidence back. And when I was leading up to the 5K, I just knew the only way was just to go out, run my race and enjoy and be at peace. So to be at peace, I needed to be aggressive and, you know, tell myself that I can do it. And of course, thanks to the Ugandans that most of the Ugandans, I received so many messages on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and I could not respond to them because all of them are positive and I was saying, you are our man, we believe in you that you can do it. So that energy was really enough for me to win a gold. And when I crossed the finish line, I felt like I had never run, to be sincere with you. I just completed the race and I was not feeling any pains anywhere. The joy just overtook all the pains and, you know, all the worries, and I was now happy, and the setback of the silver was now gone, and I was headed for something great. Greatness now was just within me.
Cheptegei blamed bad weather and jet lag for failing to win gold in his favorite 10,000 meters category. But he praised his training partners, Stephen Chisa, who ran as pacemaker, and Jacob Kiplimo, the 10,000 meters Olympic bronze medalist, describing the tough race as, in two quotes, a battle they skillfully planned for.
You know, when you are going for a battle, when you are going for war, you don't know what your opponents are going to do. So for us, we are prepared in the best means ever, and we had worked as a team, because, you know, normally for us we always do a fast race, and by the time that the race is going to is going to complete, nobody will be able to kick. But this one, now we ran a slow race.
Jacob Kiplimo, the youngest ever Ugandan Olympian, when he ran the 5,000 meters heats in Rio as 15-year-old, posted a time of 27 minutes and 43.88 seconds to score bronze at the Tokyo Games. Jacob says he's becoming a greater runner from each race he participates in.
It was my second time to be there in the Olympics. It was great. I think to me, this is now the beginning. I still have like 20 years from now again. We still have more things to come.
There were other elite male runners from Uganda, such as Ronald Msagara, competing in 1500 meters, and former Olympics marathon gold medalist Stephen Kiprotich, both failing to finish their races because of injuries. Overall, a combined four medals haul from the Uganda Olympics team pleased Uganda's president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Speaking at the occasion to welcome the Olympics team, Mr. Museveni said Uganda's unique geographical features highly contributed to Uganda's success.
In terms of the physical features of our country, Uganda has these high mountains and also the plateau, what you would call the lowlands. Now, these communities, which live in the different areas, have different potentials. And really, Uganda can become a very big sports country, outcompete all these other people.
The president rewarded medalists with brand new vehicles and promised to support sports. Back to Joshua Cheptegei's heroics at the Olympics, sports analyst Leonie Senyange tells the Sunnyside of Sports that by winning 2 medals at the Olympics, Joshua Cheptegei cemented his position not only as Uganda's best, but arguably the best long-distance runner ever in Africa.
An Olympic medal, gold, regardless of the distance he was running, is what was missing in his resume. Now he has it. I think the biggest catch would be the 10K medal in 2024 if he actually gets there. But yes, as it is now, Joshua Cheptegei is the greatest athlete Uganda has had, and potentially one of the greatest athletes, long-distance runners that the world has been able to produce.
For the Sunnyside of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
I am Mukundane Albert, an African poet. You are listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
And I'm pleased to report African poet Albert has this poem for us in honor of Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei.
Ooh, Cheptegei! It finds the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this a threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000-meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other tech actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa. The skilled profession for the rhythms of sports. Who can stand by this challenge?
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Rwanda, which recently inaugurated its first 18-hole golf course. Ejen Uwimana reports from Kigali, Rwanda.
The first phase of construction of this international golf course took 15 months. It sits on 52 hectares here in Kigali. The facility also has 23 bridges, 9 lakes, 3 rain shelters, a hallway house, and an underground tunnel. For golfers in Rwanda, the course is a dream come true.
This is going to be a training ground because we are having the youth academy, the academy itself, for training young golfers, for training even other people who want to know golf. So it's we have a training ground. You have professionals who are going to train here. So we're going to attract many Rwandan and non-Rwandan golfers, and those who intend to play golf, will benefit from this.
He says they are very happy to have this course. It can help you level up to professional standard because the course itself is international. According to Rwanda's Social Security Board, the first phase of building the course plus the next one will bring the total investment to around 145 billion Rwandan francs or approximately $145 million. Regis Rugemashiro is the Director General.
Now, Rwanda is a country that is really doing to position ourselves as a destination of choice for conferences, for tourism activities, and for sports. We've seen amazing organization of what happened with BAL. Golf is a complementary piece to everything else that the country has been doing.
The Rwandan government says that its interest was partly driven by the growing golf tourism market. For the Sunnyside of Sports, this is Ejen Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
And that wraps up the September 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.